So we are stating the fact. We support the government of Zimbabwe, whether it was Mugabe or President Mnangagwa. Where we are today, we have a system in place. We have a new government in place. We would like to see the Zimbabweans give this new government a chance to show us what they can do. And in 8 months, if the Zimbabweans do not like this government, let the Zimbabweans come to the polls. As for the opposition, we really were hoping that this opposition would have been a very strong opposition, because that's what calls for a strong democracy. But they're failing us in the sense that they're not articulating their agenda. So we support them. But they need to be strong and articulate the agenda so Zimbabweans can have a good choice in
Madam,
8 months.
Madam Ambassador, unfortunately, the time is not our best ally. Next question.
Yes, Roderick Machekano, and my question is to all of the panelists. Now, given that there is a lot of work that needs to be done in terms of leveling the field, especially towards the elections, would both parties be interested in postponing the elections so that they can be held in an atmosphere where everybody thinks or agrees that the outstanding issues have been resolved?
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Machekano. Right now, the elections are scheduled to happen between 18 July and 28 August next year. For there to be a postponement, there must be a legal reason, and right now there isn't. There is no legal proviso to change the dates for those elections right now. I heard my brother here talking about the possibility of another GNU. Why do you want an unelected group of people to govern you when there is a chance for, when we have a chance in 7 months to elect a free government? If you don't want ZANU-PF, vote whomever you want. We are very busy organizing our membership to vote us back into power. What is the opposition doing? Busy fighting amongst themselves instead of organizing themselves.
Thank you. Thank you. But someone, of course, might say that the current government is unelected. It just came through via AK-47.
No, it was a constitutional transfer of power. There was no coup. It's within our constitution. When the sitting president steps down, there are constitutional provisions, and that's what took place.
Fortunately, I'm not a lawyer. So
can I correct something before we go on? We are very much against the GNU. It never yielded any results for us. In fact, it helped ZANU-PF strengthen its rigging machinery while we're busy building the economy. We are saying no to the GNU, so do not even think that we want to associate.
Maybe you should talk to your friends in Zimbabwe.
No. You are trying to put that up.
Gentlemen, unfortunately, time is not a best ally. Please, very short.
My name is Dr. Muzi Ncube. I'm the MDC USA Organizing Secretary. I think it's very obvious that as an opposition party in Zimbabwe, we have not only just been fighting against ZANU-PF, we've been also fighting against the African Union, because these are the same organizations that have been just useless to help Zimbabweans. Mm. African Union and SADC, they have never amounted to anything as far as I'm concerned as a Zimbabwean citizen. And Dr. Frank Guni, you mentioned that the new president is going to have some reconciliation talk, I guess, in Zimbabwe. Is that going to also include the genocide that he was actually involved in Matabeleland and Midlands in the early 80s? Is President Mnangagwa going to actually apologize to the people of Midlands and Matabeleland for the genocide that he was part of, so that we can all move together as Zimbabweans?
Interesting. In fact, some people have been saying that perhaps you should borrow a leaf from your southern neighbors, South Africa, so that you can institute a truth and reconciliation commission. What about that?
Well, let me be very quick here. The question of what happened in the 80s during the Gukurahundi period is going to be addressed within the appropriate forum within our legal framework. Yes, our former president described it as a moment of madness. He did say that. And I'm sure the current president will address it within the framework of the law and within the appropriate forum. That's a direct answer to you. And our national reconciliation expands beyond what happened in the 80s. It moves even to what happened just prior to the handover of power in Zimbabwe. there's been a lot of acrimony amongst our people, and our president is saying, let bygones be bygones. Let's move forward together, whether in the opposition or in the ruling party. Let's work together.
Last question. I suppose it has to be last question, because time again, not really, it happens not to be a best ally.
My name is Cedric Bryant, Dr. Cedric Bryant, of course. I'm not a Zimbabwean, but I'm an African. And I'm listening to the African Union representative, Dr. I'm sorry, miss, what's your name, please? You speak very passionately about this organization to the Mr. Mayor there. My question is the African Union, are they organized? I think they are one of the most useless organization. Okay. No offense, but I think there's with all the corruption and the injustices in Africa, they espouse those things, okay? And what that does to our people, every part of the world where we go, when you say, oh, that's our African, it makes us look like abject citizens or abject people of the world, because the African Union is useless. They have no objectives. They need to get some objective, and they need to hold every African leader that is involved in atrocity, corruption, like this, Mugabe's party here, okay, need to hold them accountable. And if they continue to indulge in those behavior, you should eject them from the African Union and then take some stand against them. But I think you guys are unorganized, and I think you guys are ineffective.
Thank you very much. I think, in fairness, frankly, you should probably explain really what the African Union is or is not.
Absolutely. I think it's important.
It has no sovereign status, so.
Yes, I think it's important that first and foremost, when I listen to those who claim to be Africans, you're also forgetting that you are the African Union. The African Union is as strong as its people. First and foremost, membership in the African Union is voluntary. Countries are members of the AU because they choose to be members of the AU. Secondly, the AU, it has no sovereignty as a union, but the individual countries do. So we play a supportive and advisory role to the countries, but at the end of the day, the countries have got to make their decisions. One. Secondly, when you talk about being disorganized, I go back to what I just said, the sixth region. My brother, what state are you from? Were you born in America?
No, I'm probably born in Liberia.
Born in Liberia? Okay, then you are an African diaspora outside Africa. Are you organized?
I
am. Is Liberia organized?
Well, no.
Oh, thank you. May I rest my case?
No.
Liberia is not organized. The other remaining 54 countries are not organized. So when you say the AU is not organized, guess what? Look in the mirror. Because you are the AU. Liberia should be organized. We should be able to push a button and say, all the Liberian doctors, we can push a button and call on you. The accountants, we are disorganized as Africans. Let's make that clear. We need to organize. The African Union is you.
The African Union,
yeah.
No, it's weak.
It
needs to be changed, but you have to be part of that change.
Please.
The African Union is weak. If you can attest to that, and you can see, because you see, every leadership, I study leadership. Every leader must find his or her fault before they can lead other people. So, as a leader or as a representative from the AU, if you can see your weakness, if you know that you guys are weak, then you can correct your system. Thank you.
Thank you.
We are very much aware of what needs to happen. This is very important. And I think that as black people, we must take ownership of our issues where we need to. As African Union, we take ownership for those issues that we need to be responsible for. But at the end of the day, the unity that is required among us as black people is not there. So you need to start by unifying with your neighbors, the other Africans, the Liberians. You must be organized. All African countries, we are probably the most disorganized race on earth. Look at tribalism, the issues of tribalism. You can't even get African Africans from one particular country to agree on anything in the United States. So we all have issues, and we have got to look in the mirror and ask ourselves the most serious question.
You know. That exchange. Let's probably have another town hall meeting really on the role of the African Union, because frankly, that reminds me frankly of one a saying that you go to war with the army that you have, not the one that you wish you had. But you also mentioned something about ethnicity. You call it tribe and what have you. There are people who are wondering about Zimbabwe's change because they say almost every character in this change, beginning with the former president, Robert Gabriel Mugabe, going through the new president, Emmerson Mnangagwa, the former first lady, Dr. Grace Mugabe, the general, Constantine Chiwenga, even you got the opposition, Changira, that they all belong to the same ethnic community, the Shona. Is that true?
Yes, it is.
Interesting. Zimbabwe is made up of more than Shona. So, yes, please.
Right. Thank you. Thank you very much. My name is Paul Nantulia. I work for the Africa Center for Strategic Studies here in Washington, D.C. I'm originally from Uganda, but I was stationed in Zimbabwe, in Harare, for many years. And I really, actually, Zimbabwe is one of my favorite countries. Industrious people, very generous people, very intelligent. The question I have is, for about a year, there's been an indigenous, which again is characteristic of Zimbabwe, there's been an indigenous initiative that brought the different political parties, civil society organizations together to basically look at what they were calling a national transitional authority to basically take Zimbabwe out of the crisis that it was facing. I wanted to find out from all the panelists where any thought has been given to incorporating some of those very good ideas into the transition that is ongoing at the moment. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
To start with, we go back to the issue that I've already alluded to. The transitional authority was an idea that was mooted by people in Zimbabwe, given the security issues that were happening due to the infighting within our own political party. But since the infighting has already been addressed, we are moving towards elections. And the elections are for the people to choose whom they want to govern, not a group of people selected by one or two, three people. So we are actually moving towards elections and not towards a transitional authority. The president, the new president, President Mnangagwa, has an option to include people outside of ZANU-PF or outside of parliament for that matter, a maximum of five when he appoints his cabinet. He could possibly appoint people from outside of ZANU-PF as a way of accommodating others in the rebuilding of Zimbabwe. That's a possibility. But otherwise, it's still going to be short-lived because the elections are happening in the next 7 to 8 months.
Thank you. Next.
I'm Greg Simpkins. I'm with the House Subcommittee on Africa, and I've been a Zimbabwe watcher for 38 years, and maybe there's something you could clear up for me. A couple of weeks ago, the youth wing and the women's wing of ZANU-PF were holding rallies enthusiastically supporting Dr. Grace Mugabe, and yet just days ago, we had a change of government. We had enthusiasm not only among the MDC and other opposition, not only of people in the streets, but within ZANU-PF. How did this quick turnabout happen, and what does it say about the road ahead for ZANU-PF?
To be honest, most of the rallies that you saw happening, the so-called youth interfaces, most of the people who went there, they weren't really quite sure what was happening. It was an orchestrated internal process within our party to get rid of certain people within our party, and we realized we had a problem, and we solved it. That's why you saw people who were even supporting Dr. Grace Mugabe and the few people who were moving away from the fundamental principles of our party coming back into the fold because they realized that they were being misled. And some of them, to be frank, they were just going there because they were afraid. But now we are democratizing our party we are revamping ZANU-PF, and people are realizing that it's time to go back to ZANU-PF. My sister here was saying she was in ZANU-PF. Come back home and vote with us. Well, she said she was ZANU and she didn't vote. She didn't know how to vote. She must have been in the wrong basket.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Doug.
My name is Doug Boynton. I work with the part of the organization that distributes content from VOA, including Studio 7. We visited last time in Zimbabwe a couple of years ago, and we met with the people from Zim Papers who control ZFM. We met with the people who control Star FM. We met, surprisingly, with ZBC. They called us pirate radio. Our friends at Zim Papers and Star FM said, you know, we'd really like to do business with you guys, but we would be shut down in a heartbeat if we did. As you move toward elections next year, is there reason to believe that all points of view will be heard by media in Zimbabwe? And is it possible for Studio 7 to find a home in Zimbabwe?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're welcome to go and report from Zimbabwe anywhere you want.
We'll pursue that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And if you have a problem, give me a call.
Very good.
I'll do it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, madam.
My name is Sibongile Ngube, and I am a proud Zimbabwean. And I have lived in this country for 25 years. And I feel like today, with this dialogue and where we are, this takes us back to 1980. This is the spirit we had in 1980 when Zimbabwe became independent. With that same spirit we had in 1980, let's move forward. Now, my question, not really a question, maybe a comment, Dr. Chihombori. You said the problem with the opposition parties is that they are disorganized. I don't think it's that they are disorganized. It's because they were never free to organize and come as a strong opposition. Yep. What we need today, moving forward, is election reform that enables a free and fair opportunity to all parties to agree, disagree freely, and go to the ballot and vote. So really, it's not disorganized parties. It is, Zimbabwe was never free. These parties were never free to organize and fight back. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, please.
My name is Omega Taonesvi, and I'm Zimbabwean. And my question is for the ambassador. So from what you've been saying, it shows that the AU believes that the diaspora needs to be more organized and that the diaspora can play a big role in changing the different African countries. So I know some African countries have a diaspora plan initiative as part of the AU, and I know Zimbabwe does not. What is the AU doing to encourage the new government in Zimbabwe to give the diaspora the platform for them to make real change and to organize and bring change?
This is really what I've been saying about the diaspora. We have got to organize. And once we are organized and speak with one voice, it's easier to then approach the government and table our requests. Disorganized, which one among the diaspora from Zimbabwe is going to be given the voice to go and approach the government and say, hey, these are our concerns? I don't think the government would have a problem with that. Many African governments are now having diaspora desks, and most of them that I know of, they are in the president's office. But if you're disorganized, who is your voice? Okay, then you write the letter as the representative of the Zimbabweans in the Americas. But it all starts, I cannot overemphasize this. We have got to get organized, plain and simple. When you organize, then you have a voice.
Organize, not agonize.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have to stop being noisemakers from a distance. We got to be organized.
Yes, please.
Yes,
then let's send a letter and send a request to have a diaspora desk, and I can assure you it will be done.
So I'm Ralph Winnie. I'm not Zimbabwean, but my cousin is Zimbabwean. And he was given an opportunity after he finished school where the government paid for his education in Australia, with the stipulation that he would come back and work for the government, which he did for about 20 years, and now he's in private industry in Chimanimani. Is that program still in operation in Zimbabwe? What does the opposition and the ruling ZANU-PF party feel about that kind of program to keep the young people in Zimbabwe, whether they're black, white, or Asian, engaged, committed to supporting the country so that they don't leave and become a diaspora, but they're able to stay and contribute to the fabric of Zimbabwe?
That's going to be pursued very vigorously.
Okay.
We have a young person here
Yeah. Who
is representing
the youth.
The youth of Zimbabwe.
Okay.
We have a program, the YALI, the Mandela program here.
Okay.
Yeah, people, young
That's
Zimbabweans come here. And
yeah.
Yes, it is America.
Right.
No, if you let me finish, the point
yeah.
that I'm making is young people who go abroad to go and study in different
right.
fields, they are welcome to go back in Zimbabwe and contribute to the new Zimbabwe.
Right.
That
mm-hmm.
is happening
and
now.
And that was a stipulation at the time that the government will pay for him to get his doctorate in Australia, but he comes back and he has to work for the government for a period of time, which is what he did, and then he went into private industry working with a foreign company that wanted to do business in Zimbabwe. So that's the kind of person, you know, you want to keep them engaged in working with the government and in private industry in Zimbabwe.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I'll take note of that and actually include that in my notes to my superiors.
Okay.
Hopefully after we win the elections, we'll reconsider that program.
Okay.
Thank you.
And does Mr. Dan
Moyo? I mean, definitely. But we have to understand why people left Zimbabwe in the first place.
Right, right.
We did not willy-nilly pack up and leave. Some of
yeah.
us left everything. It just came with a backpack.
Right.
Because the government was so oppressive, we just had to leave. The economy was
right.
completely dead.
So
sure. as much
right.
as we want to go back home, the conditions have to be conducive again for
sure.
us to go back. And I speak
right.
for a lot of Zimbabweans when I say that.
Yeah.
And that's why we are here to talk about how to get the conditions conducive again
right.
for our people to be proud once again to go back to Zimbabwe.
You're
right now,
right.
we it's hard to be proud.
Your work is cut out
why
for
more
you.
More of
really.
My family couldn't stay there for economic reasons.
Yeah.
But this opportunity was provided to my cousin, so he was able to, in effect, stay.
You have more than 3 million Zimbabweans.
Four,
yeah.
actually.
In South Africa. Correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's about right.
Interesting. Next,
thank
please.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you for the Voice of America and for this opportunity to be able to talk about African issues. My name is Dr. Hashim Tine. I'm the founder of the International Peace Quest Institute and Salam Sudan Foundation. And I'm a Pan-Africanist dreamer, thinker, philosopher, and activist, peace activist. There are two things that emerged from this very historic opportunity today. First, we salute the change in Zimbabwe. Originally, I'm from Sudan, by the way, been in exile since 73.
By that, you mean Khartoum?
Khartoum, yeah.
Yes.
But I come from the Midwest of Sudan.
Okay.
Anyway, there are two things that are very important that we should take with us today and continue this conversation, which is historical. First, our predicament as Africans, but our predicament as human beings in the larger picture, which is that most of our societies and the system that is dominant today, I think, is rooted in three evils that Martin Luther King identified clearly and simply. One, racism. Two, militarism. Three, greed. I think from what I heard today, there is a call for humility when we think about our problems. And I think the Bible was right when it said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We are about liberation here. We are about liberation. And by the way, I just published a book entitled Liberation, A Quest for a New Humanism, available in Amazon.com, just to plug that. So we need to be humble and accept and practice self-criticism and face honestly and sincerely our weaknesses and our challenges and try to humbly address them. That is impossible without three things and three values that we should promote at the family level, the community level, and the societal level. First, we need to work for self-transformation by increasing our awareness of who we are and what we are about.
Could you please sum
second,
up, because yeah, time is not
okay,
up.
Okay, two points.
One, please.
Awareness.
One, please.
Okay, one. Awareness, consciousness, and awakening. We need an awakened Africa and awakened humanity. Thank you.
Now we just have 1 minute, please. 1 minute.
Oh, yeah. No, it's actually not a question. I was going to make a comment because you were asking about the diaspora. And I just wanted to make you aware, first of all, that the Zimbabwe government has a diaspora policy, which the Zimbabwe Diaspora Network in North America, which I am part of, Shingi is also part of, and a lot of other people are part of, contributed in the formulation of that policy. So there is a Zimbabwe policy on the diaspora. But one of the things which, of course, is common is people do not participate. Last time when I was here in this forum, I talked about participation, but I think there is a lot of apathy in Zimbabweans and other Africans actually participating in these initiatives. And I would really like to encourage people to do more rather than just talk. Frank, do you have ZANU-PF card members?
They are now electronically available. Yes.
Well, final question. Dr. Guni, do you have any plans that will help to attract back those 4 million people, or Zimbabwean people really, who are outside of Zimbabwe to come back home?
Yes, the new president is working tirelessly right now with the acting foreign affairs minister to revamp the reconnection with the diaspora, because the new president recognizes that the diaspora remits a lot of money, and we're not only saying Zimbabweans should remit money, they should have a voice in what's happening in Zimbabwe. And Zimbabweans with different skills that are necessary for the rebuilding of our nation are most welcome to participate. The Zimbabwe Diaspora Network is a recognized platform that the government of Zimbabwe recognizes and continues to work with. So there are some institutions that are available. We have so many organizations in so many countries.
I see.
And we are willing to work with them.
Well, I have to say, frankly, that on that note, I think the discussion comes to an end. It has been a very, very provocative and educative exchange. And we thank you so much. And for that, of course, I'll thank Dr. Arikana Chihombori-Kwau, the African ambassador to African Union ambassador to the United States. Thank you so much for coming. And we thank, of course, Dan Moyo, a representative of MDC. It was a pleasure, of course, to host you here. We also thank Rutendo Muzamiri, who represents the youth of Zimbabwe. And finally, of course, Dr. Frank Goni. And on that note, thank you so much. I'm sorry, I understand that I do have a few minutes left. And for that, I'll say bye for the radio.